Please turn your Bibles back to Acts chapter 21. And Acts chapter 21 marks the beginning of the end of Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. In his going to up to Jerusalem to preach the gospel, this will be his third missionary journey, which was undertaken to encourage the people of God, the believers, in the various churches already founded, as we see in the earlier chapters of the book of Acts, how Paul traveled from places to places, not only to preach the gospel, but to establish churches, to bring the people of God together so that they can be as a gathered people to worship the Lord. And then, of course, from chapter 21 onward, it reveals Paul's arrival in Jerusalem, and it will be again a time of suffering. Suffering for the sake of the gospel, as not only the Jews but also the Gentiles in Jerusalem, they will not only reject the gospel message, but they also plotted to destroy God's servant, the Apostle Paul. And of course, not only the Apostle Paul, and others who are with him and who preach the gospel, the people not only reject the gospel, but they also rejected God's servant. However, we see that whatever happened to the servants of God, whatever happened to God's people, whatever happened to the early Christians, the persecuted people of God, the ministers of the gospel, nothing could stop the complete accomplishment of redemption by Christ's death and resurrection. Nothing can stop the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all nations, far and wide. Not even the death of God's servant, not even the persecution or the oppression of God's people. God is able to and will raise up other servants like Paul to continue the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise and thank God for his mercy, that the Lord, who has begun a good work, as he promised, will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. This morning we shall take from Paul's mission statement in verse 13 to extract or to glean an encouraging lesson for our spiritual edification and comfort. Verse 13 reads, "Then Paul answered, 'For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.'" This is actually the second time he made his mission statement. For he first declared it, if you like to turn to Romans, Acts 20, verse 24. And that's where Paul made his mission statement first, there in Acts 20, verse 24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Briefly put, Paul's mission statement is this: willingness to die for Christ's glory, for Christ's glory, the gospel of the glory of Christ. Willingness to die for Christ, for the gospel's sake. This was Paul's calling, and he was prepared to walk in his Savior's footsteps, to give his entire life, even his life, for the sake of the gospel. Our subject this morning is a gospel worth dying and living for. A gospel worth dying and living for. Paul says that in comparison with his great objective or purpose of preaching the gospel, he did not count even his life to be dear to himself. Yet, of course, it does not mean that Paul does not value his life. He valued his life very highly. He knew of his life as of great blessing to the churches, how God used his life, his ministry, to the blessing of the churches in the preaching the gospel and to the cause of Christ. For he said to the Philippians Christians, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, in Philippians 1:24. So Paul is not weary of life, nor did he regard his life as nothing or worthless. Yet he soberly said to the elders of the church at Ephesus in Acts 20 that he did not regard his life as a dear thing in comparison with bearing testimony to the gospel of the grace of God. The apostle regarded his new life in Christ, his God-given life in Christ, as a race which he had to run. He cares not how difficult the obstacles, the objection or the rejection, except so far as it is the way over which he must run to reach his desired end. Such was life to the Apostle Paul. All the energies of his spirit were concentrated to the pursuit of one object, namely, that he might everywhere bear testimony to the gospel of the grace of God. And the life which he lived here below at that time was only valued by him as a means to that end. He also regarded the gospel and his ministry in witnessing to it as a sacred deposit which had been committed to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why he said in Acts 24, I have received the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. And he was resolved, or rather, he looked upon himself as put in trust with the gospel. And so he resolved to be faithful, though it should cost him his life. He says he desired to fulfill the ministry which he had received of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, we are not called to apostleship. Not all of us are called to apostleship. And we may not have been called to public preaching of the word of God, but we are all charged as Christian believers to be valiant for the truth of the gospel of Christ upon earth. But we are all charged, or rather, and also to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints, which is the spirit of the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. As believers, we are called to some form of ministry, some form of preaching, so to speak, of the gospel. And this ought to make our life a race and cause us to regard ourselves as the guardians of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall inquire from Paul's statement firstly, what was this gospel? What was this gospel which Paul charged or deem to be worth dying for? Secondly, if we cannot die for the gospel of Christ, then how can we live for it? And if time permits, thirdly, we need to further inquire, why should Christian believers live for the gospel? And so may the Spirit of God work in us the holy devotion and self-sacrifice of the Apostle Paul. Firstly, what was this gospel which Paul deemed to be worth dying for? Let us begin with the first inquiry. It is not everything that is called the gospel or gospel which would produce such enthusiasm or regard as worthy. For we have gospel nowadays which I would not die for, nor recommend any one of you to die for or to live for, inasmuch as there is another gospel, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:4 and Galatians 1:6. A very warm welcome to our friends, our contractor, Mr. Shi, 欢迎来我们的教会，跟你的太太是吗？欢迎。So there is another gospel, which is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is not worth dying for and not worth living for. An example of another gospel is what gospel? Which is not from the Lord Jesus Christ, is social gospel. A social movement started in the United States from about 1870 to 1920, and of course right now, for many years right now, they try to, in all these liberal churches, they try to promote once again within the Protestantism that apply Christian ethics to social problems, especially issues of social justice. This is not the gospel worth living for and dying for. It is not worth to die for a doctrine which will itself die out. Another example that I can think of another gospel which is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is easy believism gospel, where you say a prayer, follow the four steps, and then after that you are safe, and hallelujah, you can continue to live as you like, the way that you live as before. And therefore you'll be in heaven. And of course another gospel which is very common, propagated from the West, United States and the UK here and all these Western countries, that has gone into so many parts of the world, as you know, not new, health and wealth gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have all the blessing, all the material blessing. You will be rich, life will be peaceful, no diseases, no sickness, all will be well, your bank account will increase. This is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What then? What then is this gospel which Paul valued before his own life? It was called by him. Please take note. It's not just the gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. That which most forcibly struck the apostle in the gospel was that message of grace. Of grace alone. The gospel was the gospel of the grace of God. Listen to it very carefully. It is not health and wealth gospel. It is not blessing and all the blessing. They call it in Chinese, Bao Yu. Believe in the Lord. Just sing it. Yes, yes, so then you have Bao Yu. You have all the blessing. 有车,有房子,有什么都有,有钱。信耶稣就是这样，这个不是耶稣基督的福音。This is not the gospel. In this day, the word grace is not often heard. We hear of moral duties, scientific adjustment, human progress. But who tells us of the grace of God? Except for a few old conservative Christian churches like ours and people who will soon be gone. Grace is the essence of the gospel. Grace is the one hope for this fallen world. Grace is the sole comfort of true Christian looking forward for glory. I shall attempt to briefly explain how the gospel is the good news of grace. Not of health, not of wealth. The gospel is an announcement that God is prepared and willing in His mercy to deal with guilty men and women, boys and girls, on the ground of free favor and pure mercy. There would be no good news, my friends, in saying that God is just. For in the first place, that is not news. We know from the scripture, and we know in our hearts, that God is just because the law of God is written in the heart of the man. The natural conscience teaches us that God is just. That's not good news. That God will punish sin and reward righteousness is not news at all. For if it were news, yet it would not be good news, for we have all sinned. And upon the ground of justice, we must die. That's the fact. But it is news. News indeed, of the best kind, that the judge of all is prepared to pardon transgression. He is prepared to pardon the sinner, to justify the ungodly. And this is good news. Good news to the sinful, that the Lord Jesus will blot out sin, cover the sinner with righteousness, and receive him into his favor, and that not on account of anything he or she has done or ever do, but out of sovereign grace. Pure sovereign grace. Though we are all guilty without exception and all must justly condemn for our sins, yet God is ready. God is ready to take us from under the curse of His law and to give us all the blessedness of righteous men as an act of pure mercy. Recall how David saw this and his speak of it in the 32nd Psalm. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. This is a message, brethren and friends, worth dying for. That through the covenant of grace, of God's grace, we can be just. And yet, through the covenant of the grace of God, can be just, and yet the justifier of him that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he can be the righteous judge of men, and yet believing men can be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, is ready to bless the most unworthy, is a wonderful piece of news. Worth a man spending 100 lives to tell it and to repeat it again and again. This is the good news of the gospel of grace. I say this to the penitent, the despondent, and the despairing, if you are in such a condition. Though your sins deserve hell, yet grace can give you eternal life and heaven and make you fit for it. And that as a sovereign act of love altogether, independent of their character of deserving. Because the Lord has said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. There is hope for the hopeless. 那些绝望的我们有希望在耶稣基督里面没有希望 Hopeless. Sin, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth grace of mercy. Romans 9:16. So my friends, there is an open door of hope for those who otherwise might despair. This would be glad tidings to the hopeless and perishing, would it not? Would you not be glad, my friends, to carry such a joyful news to your family members and loved ones who are still outside of the kingdom of God, to all your friends and your neighbors, your classmates or whoever who are perishing and dying, living in sin? Would this not be a good news? Paul well understood the gospel of grace, and he understood it, my friends, experientially. Not just up in the head, I know the gospel, and not repeating 10 times or 1,000,000 times that I'm a Christian, I go to church, 去教会, 不是, 当作你就是基督徒。 Sorry, my Chinese is not very good. I'm trying to help my friends down there to understand my little bit. 来教会, 不等于, I think I better get it now. 不等于你是基督徒。 很多人也是进进出出去教会。 There are many people who come in and out of the church, and they call it a Christian. No, coming to church, you can come every Sunday at 11 o'clock straight, sharp, very punctual, doesn't make you a Christian. So 记得, 你可以每个星期 很准时的到教会, 在你心中, 你还没有接受耶稣为你的救主。 And this will be glad tidings to the perishing. And Paul well understood the gospel of grace experientially, and that is why he was willing to throw his life away, that he may tell his fellow sinners, because he experienced the mercy and the grace of God in his own life. How he persecuted the church, how he persecuted the Christians and bring them to death, bring them into prison, and now he was touched by that grace of the mercy of God, by the cost of the gospel that reigns in his heart. But the gospel tells us much more than this, namely that in order that God might justly deal in the way of pure mercy with man, he gave his only begotten Son, that by his death the law may receive its due. So there is no compromise of God's law here. God in his wisdom has devised this redemption plan that the law might receive its due, and the eternal principles of his government may or might be maintained. The Lord Jesus was appointed to stand in man's stead, to bear man's sin and to endure the chastisement of man's guilt. The debtor is loosed, for the debt is paid. See a dying Savior. And here the prophet says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Brethren, it is the grace of God's part to resolve upon devising and accepting an atonement, and especially in his actually providing that atonement at his own cost through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this wonder, and this is the wonder of the gospel of grace beyond our comprehension, that God, who was offended himself, provides the reconciliation. He had but one Son, but out of pure grace, he took that Son from his bosom, allowed him to assume our frail nature, and in that nature permitted him to die, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. This then, brethren and friends, is the gospel of grace. And this is the gospel Paul willingly died for, lived for. That God is able, without injustice, to deal with man in a way of pure mercy, altogether apart from their sins or their merit, because their sin was laid upon His dear Son, the Lord Jesus. 耶稣为我们的罪钉在十字架， 不是因为我们有什么好在我们的心中， Nothing at all, nothing good, undeserving. But God was willing to send His Son. And in that gospel, there is also revealed a motive for mercy. Why is God so merciful? Because it is in agreement with the grace of God. God's motive for dealing with men and women, boys and girls, on the footing of free grace is the revealing of His own glorious character. He says this, "Not for your sake do I this, saith the Lord God, but be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel." Ezekiel 36:32. Not for you, but for His own name's sake, for His own glory. God saves man that His own only, or His own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, may be magnified and extolled, and to be very high, and that His Holy Spirit may be honored in the new creating of rebellious men and women. So, if it be for God's glory or His own glory that God saves guilty sinners, then is a window open by which light can come to those who sit in the darkness of despair. Therefore, this gospel blessing might come within the reach of men and women, of you and I, of boys and girls. God's grace has adopted a method suitable to their condition. You may ask, how can I be forgiven? 怎样接受耶稣基督为我的救主? How can I? 我的罪怎么样会得的赦免? How can I be forgiven? You may ask. Very simple. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. 在你的心中, 你真正有接受耶稣基督为你的救主吗? 你承认, 在你的心中承认, 你犯罪, 你得罪了神, 你是个罪人, 如果你相信你是个罪人, 你相信耶稣基督为你的救主, 你就得救。 不是相信在这里啊, 是真正在心中, 不是说而已, don't say, I'm a Christian. 1 John, the book of 1 John, we studied that. Christian, we say that we are Christian. We say that we are a believer. Say is of no use. It is here. And only God knows. 你可以讲, 我说我是个基督徒, 神在天灵会知道, 真的吗? He saves upon believing. God saves upon believing. This is faith, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you may trust yourself with Him. But as many as receive Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 1:12. If you believe, then you are saved. 你相信吗? 你真正的相信吗? 如果你真正的相信, 你就得救。 Salvation is of faith, that it might be of grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all seed. Romans 4:16. I must move on very quickly. How can we then live for this gospel of grace? There is so much more to preach on the gospel of grace, and I know that you know much about this. But I have to come to the second heading. And since you and I are not called to die for the gospel just yet, let us then consider how we live for it. How can we live for this gospel of the grace of God? And my answer to this is this, or answer to this question is this. If anybody is to live for this gospel, he or she must first receive it from God. And for the ministers to preach it, he must have received a call to minister or to serve for it. He must himself under promise to hold and to keep this gospel, not so much because he has chosen it, but because the gospel of grace has chosen him. The gospel which the Bible has revealed and the Holy Spirit has taught us. So this gospel must not only be preached, it must be lived out in the life of all Christian believers. However, the next thing the Apostle Paul did was to make it known. He went about publishing the gospel. He went about preaching the gospel. He went about teaching in the gospel, usually from going to the synagogue, just like the Lord Jesus did. And he went everywhere as the Holy Spirit leads him. Though not every believer is called to preach the gospel, but my friends, or rather my brethren, you can certainly make known the gospel by telling those around you what this gospel of grace has, of God has done to you. Can you not do that? Or will you not do that? If it is such a good news for you, if you, like Paul, has tasted the grace and mercy of the Lord, of the gospel of grace, can you not do that? To testify of how the Lord saved you. And yet further we see that Paul desired to testify the gospel. To testify something more. To testify is something more than to proclaim. It means to bear personal witness to the truth. When he preached, he frequently told the story of his own conversion. You see this in the book of Acts. And in fact, in chapter 21 onward, as he stand before the governors and the emperors and all the prince or princes, he says this: "The Lord appeared to me by the way, I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should there hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." 1 Timothy 1:16. Brethren, can you not tell of your conversion and let men and women know how free grace came to you when you did not look for it? For the Apostle Paul, the gospel of God is worth living for because he would often tell of his consolation. He would often tell others how this gospel has brought him comfort. Not just eternal life. How this gospel has comforted him. We all need comfort. We all need encouragement because we are living in a sin-cursed world. And oftentimes we are plagued with so much trouble and sorrow. We are tried by false brethren. And yet, we have been upheld, isn't it? Paul has been upheld by the grace of God. Paul could also tell of his heavenly joy, the joy of the Lord in his heart, how often he has been exceedingly lifted up and made to triumph in Christ, to overcome his many troubles and difficulties by feeding upon the gospel of the grace of God. His personal experience of the power of the gospel over himself was that which he used for the spreading of the gospel. And this is the means of testifying, my friends. If the gospel has done nothing for you, then say nothing. Keep quiet and speak nothing against it. But if the gospel has done for you what it has done for Paul and for so many millions of Christians, if it has changed your life, dear friend, if it has lifted you up from the downhill and made you to sit on the throne, if it is today your life and your breath, if the gospel of grace is your life and your breath, if to your life it is the very center and sun, S-U-N, then, brethren, you are obliged to bear witness to it. If the gospel has become to you what is to me the light of my innermost heart, the core of my being, then tell it, then share it with others. You cannot hold back, can you? If you have been very sick, and then this doctor came and gave you the right treatment, and you recovered, will you not tell others how good this doctor is? I'm quite sure you will do it. But why not for the Lord Jesus, your Savior? Do you really love Him? Oh, my dear friends, let us ask ourselves honestly. Wherever you go, make men known that even if they refuse to hear you, even if they reject your testimony, share it. Tell it to others. The power of God unto salvation will be the same to every man that believes. Very quickly, just a few points. Why should believers live to make known the gospel? First, because it is the only gospel. There is no other gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the grace of God, is the only gospel. I'm not referring to all the other gospel. 只有从耶稣基督你才可以得救。 没有其他的方法。 这个不是我说，这个是圣经的话语。 只有耶稣基督可以原谅我们所有的罪恶，可以赦免我们，只有他的宝血可以洗净我们全部的罪，只有他可以我们得的永生，没有其他机会，没有其他方法。There's no other way. And so because this is the gospel of God, therefore tell out the gospel, lest man die for the lack of the knowledge of it. Next, because it is God's glory. It is for God's glory. Do you not see how it glorifies God? How the gospel of grace of God glorifies God? Why? And we don't like it. How come? Because it lowers us. It makes us humble. It humbles us sinners. You see, and it exalts God, and God gets the glory. And that is why man in his natural self will not like the gospel, because it lowers us down. It makes man nobody, but makes God all in all. It sets God on the throne and trails man in the dust, and then it leads man to worship and reverence the God of all grace. Therefore, brethren, spread it, because you will glorify Christ. Brethren, give no way to the notion and invention of man, but hold fast to the truth you have received, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. Now, if you and I are aroused this day, and God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, therefore, will help us, will assist us to proclaim the gospel of the grace. And if we do so, if we are helped by the Spirit of God in proclaiming, in testifying for Christ, you know what will happen? And this is what the Apostle John in Revelation tells us. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kingdom and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. Do you see that angel? And then, following that, in Revelation 18 verse 3, the Apostle John once again says, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because he had made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication. Brethren, if you and I are aroused by the Spirit and enabled by the Spirit to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify for the Lord Jesus, you know what will happen? then you will see the glory of God. Then you will see the God, the Spirit of God at work and give glory to God. Then you will also see the downfall of all the worldly system, any other system, symbolically represented by Babylon. Every other human system that opposes itself to the grace of the Lord God Almighty will collapse and destroy. And only one kingdom will last. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord stir us up in this. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we are recipient of Thy grace, not because of how of any good in us, but out of Thy pure mercy and grace Thou hast saved us and given us eternal life. And so we give thanks to Thee and we pray that Thy Spirit will stir us up, will move us, that Thou will grant us boldness, confidence in the Lord to testify for our Lord Jesus Christ. As particularly in this new week, as You have so graciously granted us another new week to walk with Thee. Hear this our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.